When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And welcome in Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, former Falcons quarterback. And look, it's been a wild, 72 hours? You go from the game in Vegas and then obviously the flight. Everyone's all sleep deprived and you have a press conference and Raheem hasn't made a decision yet. They're still working through some things. And then we get a press release at about 8:39 last night that Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the quarterback moving forward. I think the first question for you, Arch, and good morning, is pretty simple. What ultimately led to this decision?
Well, good to be with you guys. Obviously, a little bit of changing the guard here. And it's funny, Brady, how many times the Boston songs kind of fit what we need. You know, more than a feeling sometimes. Hey, don't look back. Both. You know, we get Boston's hooking us up, aren't they? Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I think that ultimately what leads to the decision, to me, I've heard a lot of analysis about this and a lot of people making their spins and all this kind of stuff. If you have to call the game to protect yourself from the quarterback hurting you in the game, then it's time to change.
Right.
And they have not done that until Monday night. Monday night, Zach Robinson called the game to prevent the quarterback from beating them. And when you're that position, now you've got to do something because he's hurting you. Up to that point, they had not done that. They had cut Kurt loose. He'd made some mistakes, certainly. He'd made a lot of plays as well, but enough plays negatively that it contributed to a four-game losing streak. On Monday night, you quit doing that, and you actually called the game to prevent him from beating you.
Dave, when you go back and look at these 5 weeks and everything like that, did it get worse in your opinion, or was just like it was just bad for those 5 weeks evenly?
Well, I think there were moments in all the games where I thought that Kirk did a lot of good stuff. Right. I mean, you go back to the Minnesota game. That game is tied 21-21 going to the fourth quarter. He guided you back. Now, certainly the run game was a big piece of that. But he made a number of big-time throws, the big throw down the sideline to Mooney. Mm-hmm. He made a couple of big third-down conversion throws in the Minnesota game. And he guides you all the way back to where you're tied 21-21 in the fourth quarter. So to say that everything has been bad through this four-week stretch is not fair at all. Now, he's had some moments, and certainly the most glaring moment, and now the way Tampa handled the L.A. Chargers, your old team, Randy, for us to have lost that game, that almost looks like the worst loss we had. I know the New Orleans loss sticks out in people's minds, but you couldn't lose the L.A. game. And the main reason you lost the L.A. game is because your quarterback threw the ball to the other team.
Arch, how do things change for Zach Robinson and then, by extension, the offense as a whole?
How did they change? I think that the only thing that I saw change in the game was Robinson's reluctance, certainly on Monday night, to turn him loose. We didn't throw the ball on first down the entire first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's unheard of, to not try to mix it up, especially the way you're running the football. No play action on first down, nothing. You ran the ball every time on first down. Our first throw on first down was the first play of the second half, and Kirk threw an interception.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, nothing really changed during the four-game stretch. He was trying to probe and find stuff that was comfortable. Now, the way things changed probably were a little bit more during the week game planning to try to find, okay, where are you comfortable? Where are you uncomfortable? You know, what is it that's causing that uncomfortability? You know, where are you worried about things? And Kirk is such a cerebral guy that I think his mind got so cluttered with stuff that he couldn't control. How is our defense playing? How is this receiver running his routes? How is this guy doing that? He's one of those kind of guys that overanalyzes everything, and I think ultimately, you know, the addict just got stuffed with stuff. There was too much stuff up there, and it was overloading him, and that's it began to shut down the whole system.
Dave, how do you change up, or how do you go if you're the coordinator and everything like that with the new younger quarterback? Obviously, I was saying it earlier, the boots will go more left than right this game, obviously. But what kind of game plan do you see them maybe going to help Michael Penix in this next week in this first start?
Well, first of all, you'll have a boot in the game. I mean, you haven't had any boots right in the game at all. You're running wide zone, and the counter to wide zone is the boot off of it. You haven't been able to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Penix brings that to the table. Now, to think that you've just inserted Michael Vick in at quarterback, don't get delirious on that. And I know you guys aren't, but the fans maybe see it. NBC number 7, he's left-handed. Oh, we're going to get guys running. Quarterback's going to run all of it. That's not what Penix does. Okay, Penix is a pocket passer that has the ability to move, and you're going to be able to do some stuff like you're talking about. Move the launch point. Change it. Come with some bootleg stuff off of it. And I don't think they'll exclusively boot him to his left side.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. You know, defensive coordinators are going to say, well, the only way they boot is to the left. I'll have a guy wide out. I'll have a guy in a 9 technique. We'll just take away the boot. They won't be able to do that. He'll have to boot against his arm. But what it will do is it will insert it into the game plan. And you will have the ability when things break down. And as much as you like to throw the ball on time, drop, hitch, throw, ball comes out. Randy, you know that's not the way the game's played. Most of the game is played, you'd like to think 50% of the time you can throw it on time, but the other 50% of the time, you're having to buy time. You're having to slide. You're having to move in the pocket. And Penix is really good at his pocket awareness and moving in the pocket. If you go back and look at his time at Washington, I thought he was outstanding, not running with the ball, but just moving in the pocket to provide himself an opportunity to get the ball out. And I think you saw a little bit of that in the only game he played was against the Dolphins in the preseason. He did some of that.
Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst, joining us here on the Midday Show. Abe in for Andy alongside Randy McMichael. Arch, a couple years ago, we had a veteran quarterback that lost his starting job to a younger quarterback, and he essentially bailed on the team. I won't name any names, but I think we all know who we're talking about here. And I think we all would agree that Kirk Cousins is not that type of guy. So with Michael Penix taking over QB1, what does Kirk Cousins' role become to assist him?
Well, having had a chance to be around these guys a lot, Abe, and being in practice and talking to these guys post-practice, talking to these guys around the games on road trips and stuff, there's a really pretty good relationship between the two. They did a really good job of combining thoughts. And one of the thoughts of having Kirk Cousins here with a guy like Michael Penix was for him to be able to see how professional prepares and some of the extra stuff that Kirk does. And he's an over-the-top preparer, so I think that'll help Penix. But now Kirk's ability to maybe help him when he comes to the sideline, hey, what do you see in here? It'll be conversation, and it's nothing that hadn't been going on already. I think he and Penix talk a lot during games as well when he comes to the sideline. And Mike's been pretty good about absorbing what this team is offensively. He's done some things to help Kirk on the sideline as well, even in practice. From what I understand, those two guys, there may be something that Penix walks over and reminds Kirk, hey, don't forget about this. I mean, that's where Penix is in his mental preparation for the game. Remember, this guy played 6 years of college football. So it's not like he's some guy that's just fallen off the turnip truck. He's played a lot of quarterback, albeit not at this level. But there's no question this is a roll of the dice a little bit, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a young quarterback that you don't want to damage mentally. You want his psyche, you know, but he's a tough kid. I think he's gonna embrace it. I talked to him after one of the preseason games. I said, hey, were you nervous when you got your first action there against the Dolphins? Because no, I don't get nervous.
Because
I just get excited. I just get excited. So that's who you got. You've got a mature kid that's going to step in. I say kid, he's 24 years old. He's going to step in. And I think he's relishing the opportunity.
How do you think about how do you go about getting him ready? Obviously, he's going to take all the reps with the ones in practice and everything. But outside of just what they're doing on the grass, I mean, is it, hey, you got to stay 4 or 5 hours afterwards with us? Obviously, Saturday morning and they have the meetings, but Saturday afternoon, no off time for you. Just going to be here. How do you go about doing that without overloading the kid before his first start?
Yeah, I don't think you change anything in that regard, Randy. I think that obviously there's going to be a little bit more time one-on-one he's going to spend with Zach Robinson. I think T.J. Yates has done a good job from a quarterback perspective. You know, he played the position in this game, so he'll probably spend a little more time with Michael from a preparation standpoint, just from a, you know, going over the game plan. What are you comfortable with? What are the some? But, you know, a lot of that stuff will work itself out in practice as he takes his reps. So I think that you don't want to necessarily change too much of the structure of a day, because then he senses that, okay, people are uptight. You don't want to be uptight around him. You want to be loose. You want to be excited with him that he's getting this opportunity, and know that they trust him and they trust that his preparation is good enough. So I think it's a fine line. You make a good point. How much more do I need to get him ready? Don't overdo it, because you don't want him anxious, saying, "Oh God, I don't know if they trust me here. They're not sure I can get this done." You want to alleviate any of those thoughts.
Atlanta Falcon analyst Dave Archer joining us here after the Atlanta Falcons have made a quarterback change there. Michael Penix Jr. will be making his first start on Sunday. And look, the quarterback's not the only issue with this team right now. I've got to ask about Younghoe Koo. He obviously missed a field goal. The team made a decision to pass up a couple of middle 50-plus yard field goals as well. Do you know of anyone that's going to be at practice? Has the team announced any tryouts? Or are we just stuck watching Younghoe Koo sometimes hit and sometimes miss?
Yes, that's a tough one too, Abe. You know, there's so much mental stuff that goes into the kicking piece of it, and I think that Younghoe has been really pretty good in his career. I mean, let's not forget that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The guy kicked a 57-yarder to win a game for us here just about a month and a half ago. So, but it has been a little bit lean. I mean, he missed one again this Monday night that probably we wouldn't have had to wring our hands there at the end of the game waiting to see if someone's going to catch a Hail Mary to see if we win the game. You got to score points. Most of these games are one-score games. I know they've had a couple of guys in, and I think they've had a couple of guys in. They actually signed a guy last week because Younghoe was nursing a little bit of an injury that they have on a practice squad. So I think they've got some alternatives should they decide to go that direction. I have not heard anything that would indicate that they're moving away from Younghoe Koo, but he did complain of an injury late in the game. I don't know if it was after that last kick, but they'll do some evaluation, and there'll be maybe an announcement today. This is the injury report day, as you guys know, so they may get on it a little bit.
And final question for you, Arch, and again, it's not all negative here. We got to talk about the pass rush.
Yeah,
they have really woken up 4 more sacks in this win against the Raiders. And I don't know. It just feels like they're finally starting to impact games, and they're really making work what they said. It just be patient. We feel like we're close, and we heard that for weeks and weeks and weeks as we were worst in the NFL at getting after the quarterback, and now some impact finally being made from that group.
Yeah, I thought they made some interesting changes, Abe, in that we saw a lot of loose coverage early on. Before the bye week, a lot of soft coverage, guys off. I thought they tightened their coverage some, and I think you'll continue to see that where guys are going to come up and play some press. Now, press bail maybe, but at least they're not giving away the short, easy throws. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback, you got to make the quarterback hold the football. Randy will tell you, we can't get home pass rush wise if the quarterback can hit his back step and get the ball out. Mm-hmm. So you got to make him hitch up and hold the football. Fortunately, you've had a couple quarterbacks over the last couple weeks that like to hold it. So that's contributed to putting sacks and getting the quarterback on the ground. But I think Jimmy Lake and the guys in that defensive meeting room have done a really good job of redesigning some of their stunt packages. And Randy can dive into this when I get off. But they're doing a really good job of timing their stunts, looping guys back to the inside, some of the speed rush guys coming from outside in and getting on some of those guards, and it's created interior pressure. And you guys know that whenever you watch a quarterback, interior pressure is the worst thing you can get. And the last thing for you guys as I get off here, the one thing they haven't done, they've done since the bye week, is they're not rushing past the quarterback. They're keeping the same level of the quarterback, meaning he can't escape through the middle, because if he does, those guys that are on the edge are collapsing back inside to pin him and not allow him those easy angles through the pocket. They're having to escape outside the pocket or around the pocket. So you got to keep your level of the quarterback that can move around. So those are just some of the things that I've seen. A good adjustments by those guys since the bye week, and wow, they're paying dividends, right?
Arch, appreciate the time. Look appreciate forward to breaking down Michael Penix's first start with you at the same time next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, fellas. Have fun talking.